Okay, we're learning Shmuel Bey's Perek Dalet tonight. And if you remember, Perek Gimel. So Perek Gimel, we had the assassination, we'll call it, of Avner. Right, the killing of Avner. Yoav killed Avner. We had at the end of Perek Gimel, the Psukim made it clear, well, really, David made it clear to everybody that he was not at fault. Right? He wanted to make it very clear to everyone he was not at fault. He did not order this killing. This was Yoav, you know, and his men did it on their own. And David ended off, you know, explaining that this wasn't him. And he lamented his death. He gave a hesped. He went into Avelus. Right, so it was clear that that he made it clear to everyone that he was not responsible. Okay, now so let's turn to Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, VaYishma ben Shaul. Kimeis Avner Bechevron. So the son of Shaul obviously is referring to Ishbosheth, and he hears that Avner is dead in Chevron. As we read at the end of Perek Yimel, he was buried in Chevron. That's where David is reigning as king. Vayirpu Yadav, and his hands became weak. V'chol Yisrael Nivhalu. And all the Jewish people were, you know, basically a mess, right? Everybody was very nervous. Everybody was a mess, and the Mefarshim here explain, Metzudas David, you know, explains at length, and the Malbim a little bit, that essentially this parak is the story, the culmination of the breakdown of Shaul's Malucha. Shaul's Malucha has been slowly unraveling. He was killed. His son was killed. Then his other son, Ishbosheth, the only remaining son, takes over. So it's almost like his malucha is still hanging on, you know, by a thread. And here, the malucha is now unraveling. Last parak, Avner defected. Avner is now killed. Ishbosheth is the only one still alive. And now we're basically describing the complete breakdown and unraveling of Shaul's malucha, the malucha of Shaul's family. In fact, says Mesudas David, this is why the Pasuk doesn't even refer to Ishbosheth by name. Ben Shaul, right? We know who Ishbosheth is. We've been talking about him for the last couple of prakim. So why do we refer to him here in Pasuk Aleph as Ben Shaul? So says the Metzudas David, because right now, there's nothing else to him besides for the fact that he's Ben Shaul. He has no more power. He has no more influence. He doesn't even have a following anymore. So there's nothing really to Ishbosheth anymore, other than the fact that he's Ben Shaul. He's the son of Shaul, and he's still hanging on by a thread to this malucha of Shaul. But really, that's it. There's nothing else that he has.
So you must have heard Avner defected before, right?
Yeah.
Before,
well, Avner, I mean, he and Avner had a falling out.
Right.
We discussed, right? The Psukim are clear that they got into an argument, and Avner basically said, I'm done, I'm out, I'm going to David. Right? So he knew. Right? So he knew that Avner did that. Well, I guess once Avner's dead, it's more of a finale. Meaning, even though Avner already defected, but now that he's dead, it's like, okay, now I'm really done, right? You know, this Avner was my general. He was the power behind my melucha. Not only did he defect, but now he's dead. You know, someone defects, you can always win them back. You get them back to your side. Here he's dead. I have no chance. He's gone.
Does he think David was responsible for the killing?
So, okay, so it's interesting. So the Metzudas David says here, the Metzudas David says that the people, because if you look at the end of the Pasuk, it says Vayirpu Yadav, so that means Ishbosheth was Shvach. You know, he didn't have much influence and power anymore, even less than he had last Perek, right? So he's really in a sorry state of affairs. And then it says, V'chol Yisrael Nivhalu. That all of Bnei Yisrael are kind of like in shock. Nivhalu, right? So why is Kol Yisrael Nivhalu? So the Metzudas David says that they all suspected that David was behind Avner's killing. They all suspected that, which kind of makes sense, right? Avner was this, was the opposing general. Okay, he defected, but maybe he wasn't really sincere. Maybe he was really, a spy or something like that. So they suspect. Everyone suspected that David was really behind Avner's death. They knew Avner was friendly to David, and they're thinking to themselves, if Avner, who went to David's side, He defected to David's side. He was friendly with David. And even he was killed. What about us? Right? What about us? We're all the people that were loyal to Ish-Boshes. Because remember, David only had Shevet Yehuda was loyal to him. Everybody else was loyal to Ish-Boshes. So all of Klal Yisrael is now afraid. What's this guy going to do to us? If he killed Avner, and Avner was his friend at the end, you know, he pledged his loyalty to David and still he killed him. What's David going to do to us? Well, you know, they were literally afraid for their lives. That's the Nivhalu, says the Mitzudas David. Only once Ish-Boshes is killed, we'll see, spoiler alert, sorry, I apologize. Ish-Boshes is about to be killed, right? So only once Ish-Boshes is killed and David holds his killers responsible, right? We'll see that, you know, in tonight's parak. So then the people are put at ease because then they realize, okay, David's not behind all of this bloodshed. Right? David is not behind, he wasn't behind Avner's killing, he's not behind Ish-Boshes' killing, he's not behind any of this. Then the people kind of, you know, are at ease, and then they're able to really accept David as their king, which we'll see, you know, at the end of this parak and the beginning of the next parak. Now, what's very interesting to me, very difficult actually with the Mitzudas David, is that if you look back in last parak, Parak Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, at the very end of the perek, so the pasuk says, "Vayedu chol ha'am v'chol Yisrael b'yom hahu." All of Klal Yisrael, it sounds like, knew on that day. Ki lo ha'isamei hamelech l'hamisus Avner b'ner. The Navi said at the end of Perek Gimel that everybody recognized that David was not behind the killing of Avner. Why? Because David gave a hesped, and David was in mourning, and David, you know, said that Yoav did the wrong thing. So David was making it, you know, publicly clear that he wasn't behind it. And that's what the Pasuk testifies. Kol ha'am v'chol Yisrael. So it's difficult to me that the Mitzudas David is now saying that the people really suspected David. The Pasuk seems to say that they did not suspect David. You know, but I don't know. But I'm leaving it as a question mark. I'm not sure. But that is how the Mitzudas David understands it, that the people were nervous until the end of tonight's parak. But we'll leave it at that for now. Could be. Maybe they believed it at the time. And then as time went on, they got more nervous. And they said, maybe not. Maybe he's just putting on a show. Maybe he's faking it. And we don't want to find out the hard way. You know? Could be. Okay. Pasuk Beis. Ushnei anoshim sarei gedudim. So there were these two men who were officers of the gedud. The gedud is like the legions, right? That's how they translate it. The heads of the legions, right? These are like the two generals, basically. Two officers, two generals. Hayu ven Shaul. That's a strange language. Hayu ven Shaul. So most of the Mefarshim understand the Pashup Shat is that these were two officers that were loyal to Ish-Boshes. They were loyal to Ish-Boshes. They were loyal to the son of Shaul. Shem ha'echad ba'ana, v'shem ha'sheni Rechav. These were the two officers, Ba'ana and Rechav. B'nei Rimon ha'be'erosi, and they were the sons of this fellow Rimon from this place called Be'eros. Mi'b'nei Binyamin, they were people of Binyamin, right? Certainly loyalists of Shaul and his family. Kigam Be'eros techashiv al Binyamin. Because Be'eros too is considered part of Binyamin. So that, the end of the Pasuk, most of the Mefarshim say, why is the Pasuk telling us that Be'eros is part of Binyamin? So Be'eros, it seems, was either right outside the border of Binyamin or right inside the border of Binyamin. It was in a place where it was kind of questionable. Is that really part of Shevet Binyamin? So this is confirming, yes, you know, Be'eros was really part of Shevet Binyamin, even though not everybody recognized that it was. But it was really part of Shevet Binyamin, and these were people that were officers in Shevet Binyamin. And now these two people, they were his officers. And as the Malbim kind of explains that all these psukim are explaining why Ish-Boshes was left without anyone, right? So Avner's gone, right? He doesn't have Avner. Now the pasuk says, what about these two officers? You have these two generals, you know, these two officers that were loyal to Ish-Boshes. So they also were not around. Pasuk Gimel says, "Vayivrechu habe'erosim." These fellows, these be'erosi officers, were not around because they had fled. They had run to Gisaima. They had run to this place called Gisaim. Vayiyu sham garim ad hayom hazeh. And they were living in that place over there. They were living outside of Shevet Binyamin. So therefore, even though technically they were loyal to Ishbosheth, but they weren't around. They weren't really around at this point. Now, it's not clear in the Psukim, why did they run away? It just says Vayivrchu, right? So it doesn't explain in the Psukim, why did they run away? It doesn't even say when they ran away. So all the Mefarshim offer different interpretations here. Maybe they ran away, you know, right after Shaul died, you know, because we learned right after Shaul died, B'nai Yisrael abandoned many of the cities that were right near the Plishtim. So one of the suggestions Rashi says is maybe they ran away at that time. Shaul died, people fled the cities, and they were part of that group that fled. And they ended up in this place, Gisaim, which was far away. And that's why they weren't close to Ish-bosheth at the time. Radak says maybe they got into some sort of disagreement with Shaul, or maybe with Shaul's son, and now maybe they're making shalom, so they're returning now. Not really clear, what exactly is going on. The Radak quotes an interpretation of Menachem. Menachem is this perush that's often sometimes quoted by Rashi and Chumash. You know, is presumably one of the early Rishonim. He's just known as Menachem. And Rashi quotes him in some places. The Radak quotes him here. And the Radak, he has a bit of a chiddush in this whole parsha. And Menachem says that Hayu here, Shnei Gidudim Hayu ben Shaul, means that they killed a son of Shaul. They killed a son of Shaul. Now, which son of Shaul did they kill? A different son. Not Ish-bosheth, right? Until now, Pashup shot in the Pasuk, Ben Shaul is referring to Ish-bosheth, like we read in Pasuk Aleph, Ben Shaul. Hayu, Hayu. Now, why Hayu means that is a good question, but that's how they interpret the word Hayu. Shnei Gedudim Hayu Ben Shaul. That they killed this son of Shaul, a different son, and they killed him years ago. And he, again, not either. Maybe it was during Shaul's lifetime, maybe it was right after Shaul was killed, and that's why they fled. So again, a lot of ambiguity in the Psukim and a lot of different interpretations in the Mefarshim, why these people ran away and what they're doing there. Either they ran away because they were guilty of murder, they were already murderers and they had killed the son of Shaul in the past. They ran away because the Plishtim were taking over the cities and that's why they ran away. But either way, they ran away and obviously they're not here. Ish-bosheth could not rely on these people for support. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. And again, as the Malbim says, the Psukim are continuing to describe the lack of structure and the lack of support for Ish-bosheth and the house of Shaul. V'liyahonasan ben Shaul ben Nechei Raglayim. Yehonasan ben Shaul had a son. He had a surviving son, but this son was crippled. He was crippled. He couldn't walk. Ben Chamesh Shanim Haya. He was 5 years old. Bivo Shemuas Shaul v'Yehonasan Yisrael. He was 5 years old at the time that the news came that Shaul and Yonasan were killed in battle. Shaul and Yonasan died in battle. The news came back to the royal palace. This young son of Yehonasan, grandson of Shaul HaMelech, 5 years old at the time. Vatisaehu Omanto. So his omenes, which is the nurse, right, his nanny, who was watching this kid, five-year-old kid, she grabs him. Okay, the Mefarshim say she's afraid. The Mitzvah David says she was afraid that the Plishtim would come now, they would come to the palace. You know, they killed the king and they killed the king's son. Presumably they're going to come to the palace and strip the palace of everything, take all the spoils. So she's scared. Scared for her life, scared for the life of this kid. She grabs this five-year-old kid, Mephibosheth, that's his name, and she picks him up and she runs. Vatanos. And as she's running, she trips, she drops the kid, he falls. He falls and he gets injured. And he becomes crippled. Right? And his name is Mephibosheth. This is what happened when he was 5 years old. And this is really the only living survivor, the only survivor of the house of Shaul. Everyone else has been killed, pretty much. Right? All of Shaul's sons have been killed. Obviously, Ish-bosheth is still alive, you know, for the time being, and this other kid is the only other kid alive. Now, why are we talking about him now?
He's a descendant,
but we haven't heard about him until now. All of a sudden, we're introducing this grandson. I'm sorry? Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Good, right. So, excellent. That's what the Mepharshim say. This is why the Pesukim are mentioned, the Pesukim are talking, or the Pasuk is talking about him here, because he's the only one who could continue the legacy of Shaul HaMelech, but he can't. Why can't he? Because he's crippled. He's not able to be the king, right? So there is a rule that you can't be the king if a person has some sort of a deformity, right? Can't be the king, right? Why? Because the king needs to have the respect of all the people, and it's very hard if you have a person who's a cripple, who's disabled, it's very hard for them to command the respect of everyone, right? That's why this kid cannot be the king. He's not going to be able to carry the torch. He's not going to be able to continue the legacy of Shaul HaMelech. So the Pasuk says he's the only one left. That's it. So you see, there's nothing here. There's no support. There's no structure. The whole family structure is crumbling.
How about Jonathan?
He's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
He got killed in battle. Ish-bosheth is the only remaining son. He's the only surviving son right now. Okay. Pasuk Hey. Vayelchu b'nei Rimon haba'irosi Rechav uva'ana. So now we reintroduce these two fellows, right? Rechav and Ba'ana, who were the sons of Rimon HaBe'erosi. So they come back. Vayavo'u kechom hayom. They come back in the middle of the day. El beis Ish-bosheth. They come back to the house of Ish-bosheth. V'hu shochev es mishkav ha-tzaharayim. He's taking an afternoon shluf. Right? Siesta.
They know his schedule.
Right? The Mepharshim point out. The Malbim points out. They're not coming in the dead of night to do this. They're coming in broad daylight. Right? Broad daylight. Why? Because they know he's going to be home. They know his schedule. They know he's sleeping. Remember, these were two generals. They had worked in the house, in the palace of the king. They were generals of Ish-bosheth in the past. They weren't here, you know, in the last several years. But now they're back. And they're up to no good. Right? These two are up to no good. Pasuk Vav. Vehena bo'u atoch habayis. So they come into the house. And now, why were they allowed into the house? So presumably, they used to work for the king. So they recognized them. Maybe they still had their security cards. You know, they were still able to, you know, to open the gates or whatever, right? So they were allowed in. You know, they were allowed in because people presumed that they were still, you know, oh yeah, I recognize these guys. They were generals of the king. Okay, they come in. Now, some say that they were disguised, because the pasuk says that they came in atoch habayis lok chechitim. Different interpretations. What exactly lok chechitim? Lok chechitim are like wheat sellers, you know, wheat merchants. So some say that they came in with the wheat merchants. You know, they were kind of like these wheat merchants who came in maybe to sell wheat to the palace, and they kind of snuck in with them. Maybe they were disguised. That's one interpretation about the wheat merchants. Okay, but they came in according to one. They were disguised as wheat merchants. They came into the palace, vayakuhu elachomesh, and they walk right into the royal bedroom, and they kill Ish-bosheth. They kill him. They take the sword. They stab him elachomesh, the same place. Right, it keeps coming up. This is the area where everybody's getting killed. This chomesh. Verechav uvana achiv nimlatu, and they escape. They murder Ish-bosheth, they assassinate Ish-bosheth, and they escape. Now, what's the purpose of this? Right? Why are they doing this? So we'll see in a moment that they're doing it because they realize that Ish-bosheth in the house of Shaul is crumbling. David is the one who's really gaining power and prestige now. What better way to win favor in the eyes of the new king, then kill his enemy?
Didn't they see how sad he was?
How sad David was?
Yeah.
Good question. Good question. Right? Didn't they see David's reaction when Avner died? David was sad and he was lamenting and eulogizing and tearing Kriya and sitting Shiva and all these things. So didn't they realize that this is not what David wants? So maybe they thought, okay, but you know, at some point he's going to be happy. At some point he's going to be happy. Maybe they thought he was faking it. Or maybe they just didn't realize. Again, keep in mind, they're not around. Right? These two fellows were out in some, you know, far-flung place. So it could be they didn't know exactly what was going on. Maybe they didn't know about Avner and how David reacted. Maybe they did. I don't know. We don't know. Right? The Psukim don't tell us anything. The Mepharshim that I saw didn't address it. But it's a good question. It's a good question.
Why does it have to say the word Achiv? We learned in the previous Pasuk in Beis, B'nei Rimon.
We know they're brothers.
Right. Why would it say
It's a good point. Why does it say V'reichav Uvana Achiv? Yeah. It almost implies that the main culprit here, the main murderer, was Rechav. That's what it implies almost. Now, Rechav was really the main, the one who really killed him. And maybe Vana, who was the brother, he was kind of the accomplice. So maybe. I'm just suggesting. I don't know. I didn't see it anywhere. It's a good question. Right? Maybe that's why it refers to Vana as the brother of Rechav. Rechav was really the brains behind the operation here. You know, Vana was the accomplice. He was the hitman. He helped out his brother. Maybe. Now, the Malbim, interestingly, along the lines of Menachem, says these guys were really professional murderers. And in fact, he understands that this whole business of the Lokhei Chitim, it's not that the Lokhei Chitim, he doesn't understand, like Menachem said, that they disguised themselves as wheat merchants in order to get in the palace. He says that the Lokhei Chitim is really a reference to the last murder that they did. That last time they murdered, years ago or whatever it was, they murdered the head of the wheat, you know, market. There was this fellow who was the head of the wheat market. This was the Lokhei Chitim. And they murdered this guy. And that's why they had fled. So he offers another interpretation. This is another reason maybe why they fled. Similar to Menachem, that they had murdered someone, but Menachem understands that they murdered one of Shaul's sons in the past. He understands, no, they murdered some big wheat merchant, and that's why they fled the country. But either way, you know, either way, they were, according to the Malbim, these guys were professional hitmen, right? These were professional murderers, and that's why they knew what they were doing. You know, they knew what they were doing. Yeah.
Somebody hired them?
No, they came on their own.
Like mercenaries?
They came on their own, again, and it seems that, what we'll see in a moment, you know, why it seems this way, but it seems that they're trying to find favor in the eyes of David. That's what it seems. Pasuk Zayin. Vayavo'u habayis v'hu sholchev al mitoso. So they come to the house. Again, the Pasuk is describing what happened. They came to the house. He's lying down on his bed in his room. Bachadar mishkovo. Vayakuhu vayemisuhu. And they killed him. Vayasiru es rosho. And they decapitate him. They take the head, they take his head, and they go, they travel all night to go to David. The Radak says, you know, why are the Pesukim going back here? It's like, they already killed him, and then the Pesuk goes back. You know, what's happening? So again, according to the Malbim, they killed the Lokhei Chitim before, and now they're killing Ishbosheth. You know, that's how the Malbim understands. The Pasuk is first describing their previous murder, and now is describing the new murder. But according to the Radak, it says, no, they actually killed him, they escaped, and then they came back in for the head. They came back in. Why? Because once they left, they said, hey, you know what? Maybe David won't believe us. You know, we want proof. So they went back in. After they had already escaped the palace, they went back into the palace, decapitated Ishbosheth, grabbed the head, threw it in a bag, and ran, and now we're going to prove, we're going to show David, look what we did. Look what we did. Oh, okay. Pasuk Ches. Vayaviyu es rosh Ishbosheth el David Chevron. So they arrive in Chevron with the head of Ishbosheth, and they come to David, Vayomru el HaMelech, Hine rosh Ishbosheth ben Shaul, O Yivcha, look, we have the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, your enemy, right? This is your enemy. This is the one who was challenging your malucha. Asher bikesh es nafshecha. He wanted to kill you. Right? Shaul certainly wanted to kill you. Ishbosheth presumably wanted to kill you. Vayitain Hashem ladoni hamelech nikamos hayom hazeh mishaul umizaro. Oh, and they put a religious spin on it. You know, a frumkeit. Oh, Hashem has given you revenge. Look, Hashem has given you revenge all those years that you suffered at the hands of Shaul and at the hands of Zaro, at the hands of his descendants. Finally, you have your revenge. Here's the head of Ishbosheth, you know, your enemy. And of course, they're expecting, you know, they're going to get a big Yashakayach, they're going to get an Aliyah, you know, a Kiddush in their honor, you know, something big that they're expecting here.
Weren't they afraid? You saw the story when David heard who was killed?
What, Avner?
No. Before. Wasn't there some in the story where
Noah killed the people
who killed Noah?
Shaul
killed.
The Noah
Virakohanim? Yeah.
No, it was some of those, you know, it's in my mind where...
Are you thinking
when Shaul was killed?
Yeah, when Shaul was killed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They said, we killed Shaul.
Good. We'll get there.
And he said, no, I'm going to kill you.
We'll get there. Good.
That's
what He's going to bring it up. Good. Pasuk Tes. Vayan David es Rechav v'yezbana ochiv b'nei Rimon habe'erosi. So David turns to these thugs, you know, who just killed Ishbosheth, and he says to them, Vayomer lahem, Chai Hashem, and he swears, right? Chai Hashem is always a language of an oath. He swears, Asher poda es nafshi mikol tzara, by the life of Hashem, who has saved me from every single tzara that I've ever been in. Ki hamagid li lemor hine meis shaul, right? The last one to come and tell me that, quote unquote, one of my enemies was dead, right? Okay, very good. That Shaul died. This guy thought he was doing me a big favor. Oh, Shaul's dead. Look. Right, and the guy who came said he did it. He said, I grabbed that guy by his lapels and I killed him. That's the last person who came to tell me that one of my enemies was dead. Right, that's what I did. That's what I did as a result. Okay, so says Rashi, you know, they thought they were making David happy by telling him this news, and they were going to be rewarded. Obviously, that's not the case. Says the Radak, it's interesting. If you look at the Pasuk, David says, Va'ochaza vova aregeu. David didn't kill him. If you remember, what happened was David actually told one of his men to kill him. Okay, but says the Radak, if he commanded one of his men to kill him, so it's like he killed him. And maybe he actually was holding him or grabbed him, and that's why it says va'ochza. Okay. But it says the Malbim that if you look at the Pasuk uses two different terms. Again, this is classic Malbim. Pasuk uses two different terms to describe the relaying of information to David. In the beginning it says magid, ki ha-magid li lemor, hine meis sha'ul. And then the Pasuk changes, v'hu haya ki mevaser be'enav. So what's the difference between magid and mevaser? Magid means to tell. Mevaser means to tell the news, besarot or news, right? News happenings. So why is the pasuk changing? So he says magid. The language of magid is when you're told something, but there's no benefit to you. It's just a piece of information. You don't gain from it. There's no benefit to you. It's not necessarily a good piece of news. That's magid. Mevaser is when there's something good and beneficial. The information is good for you. It's beneficial for you. That's mevaser. So that's what David is saying. Ki hamagid li lemor. When the guy told me Shaul was dead, it was a magid. I didn't benefit at all from that information. In fact, I was sad. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with that information. He thought, v'hu haya ki mevaser ve'enav. He thought in his eyes that he was doing something good. That he was giving me a good piece of news. That he was giving me something, a piece of news that would be beneficial to me. But that's not the case. Oh, and then the Malbim says that that David is telling him that when this fellow told me that Shaul died, and remember he said he killed Shaul, he finished him off. He says, I didn't really believe him because I suspected. The guy's just telling me this because he wants a reward. He's coming and telling me I killed Shaul, right? He wants a reward, okay? But I killed him anyway. Even though I wasn't 100% convinced that he killed Shaul, I still killed this guy anyway. Why? I killed him because he informed me with such joy that Shaul died, that itself made him deserving of death. The fact that you can come and tell me, Kimavaser Be'enav, with joy, with simcha, with a glick, you tell me that Shaul is dead, that's a chiyuv misa. For that, I'm going to kill you. For that, that's why I killed that fellow. And he says, continues David, talking to these two thugs, Rechav and Bana, that was to him. That was to that guy. Afki anoshim reshoim hargu es ish tzadik beveso amishkavo. But you guys are even worse. You're two wicked people who just killed a tzadik. Ishboshes was a tzadik. He didn't do anything wrong. Ishboshes didn't do anything wrong. He was a tzadik. He was a righteous person. He killed him amishkavo in his house, in his bed. Ve'ata halo avakesh es domo miyedchem. I'm going to ask for his blood from your hands. I'm going to demand justice here because you spilled his blood. Uvi'arti escha min ha'aretz, and you guys are goners. I'm going to destroy you. You're done. Okay? Says the Metzudas David that Shaul, the David here is contrasting what happened to Shaul and what happened to Ishbosheth. Shaul, number one, the guy did it in battle. Right? The guy did it, it was a battle. Shaul asked him to do it. This fellow knew that Shaul didn't have long to live. He was mortally wounded, right? Because Shaul had fallen on his own sword. He was mortally wounded. So he was dying anyway. He was in the middle of a battle. Shaul asked him to do it, and he did it. And I still killed him. I still killed this guy. You guys, number one, you're Rashaim. Number two, he was an Ish Tzadik. Number three, he was Bevei Sol Mishkavo. It wasn't a battle. He wasn't dying. He didn't ask you to do it. What you did is much worse. What you did is much worse. And the Malbim adds in here that even if David didn't really believe the fellow who killed Shaul, but nevertheless, he was still Chayev Misa, right? The Navi said Shaul was going to die. If you remember, the Navi told Shaul, he said, tomorrow you're going into battle, you're not going to make it, right? Ishbosheth was not Chayev Misa. There was nothing wrong. So what you guys did was much worse than that other fellow. And I killed him, I'm going to kill you too. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayitzav David es hane'orim vayahargum. So David says to his men, guys, kill him. And they went, they killed these two fellows, Rechav and Bana. Vayikatzitzu es yedehem ve'es raglehem. A very gruesome manner of what he did with them. He chopped off after they killed them, they chopped off their hands and their feet. Okay, why did they chop off their hands and their feet? So the Malbim says they chopped off their hands because that's what they used to do the deed of killing Ishbosheth, and they chopped off their feet because that's what they used to run to tell David the news. So they chopped off their hands and they chopped off their feet. Vayislu al habrecha bechevron. And they hung them upon this pool in Hebron, a very public place where anyone can see, right? Where everyone can see. Why did he want to do this? Why did he want to put it in such a public place? Says the Radak, he wanted to show that I don't approve of anyone's murder, even my enemies, quote unquote, right? I didn't approve of Shaul's death. I didn't approve of Abner's death. I didn't approve of Ishbosheth's death. And I want to make that clear. And that's why I'm showing that this is what happens to you when you kill my enemies. Right? This is what's going to happen. This is the revenge.
What did Ishbosheth do to deserve such a horrible death?
What did he do to deserve it?
Hashem wants to punish him for something.
I don't know. That's hard for us to answer. I don't know. We don't hear much about Ishbosheth. Besides for these couple prakim, where he was the king, we don't really hear too much about him. You know, we certainly didn't hear anything that he did anything wrong, right? He was appointed to the king. You know, I mean, maybe he shouldn't have done that. Maybe he should have, again, I'm just talking, I don't know. Maybe he should have recognized that it was time for David to take over. We don't know. I don't know. I didn't see anything, you know, any Befarshim talk about that. You know, what did Ishbosheth do anything to deserve, you know, the death? I don't know. Okay, but what did they do with his head? Ve'esrosh Ishbosheth lokhu vayikberu bekever Avner bechever. Very interesting. They take Ishbosheth's head and they bury it in Avner's kever. In Avner's kever. Why in Avner's kever? So the Mefarshim that I saw did not discuss it, but perhaps because they both died really an unjust death. Right? David felt that both of them were killed unjustly. Neither one of them deserved to die. And you know, so maybe that's why they were buried together. You know, at least Ishbosheth's head. The last point that the Malba makes here, which is an important point, is that, you know, was this Torah law? You know, that David killed these two fellows, and also in such a gruesome way, where he mutilated their bodies afterwards, cutting off their hands, cutting off their feet. So he says, no, this is not Torah law. Right? This is not Torah law that he should have done this. But he says there are the laws of the king, the Mishpatei HaMelech. And the king is entitled and allowed to do certain things if he feels that they're important for the melucha, even if it's not 100% in line with Torah law. And again, it's not against the Torah, but he feels that because of the melucha, these people were deserving of death. And the message that he wanted to send about, you know, what happens when you kill a king, this is also part of the message, says the Malbim. He wanted to send the message, this is what happens when you kill a king. Ishbosheth was a king. You kill a king, this is what happens to you. So this was the Mishpatei HaMelech that he was trying to, he felt he was important and he needed to send this message that this is what happens, and hopefully, as the Pasuk says in different places, V'chol ha'am yishmu v'yiro, that people will see, people will take note, and we'll learn in Mirtz Hashem next week, at the beginning of the next Perek, that people begin to realize, okay, this is the man, David is the one who's supposed to be king, and now let's appoint him as the one unified king over all of Klali. So Mirtz Hashem will pick up with that next week. Thank you for joining.